God bless you. I want to welcome you to the Trucking for Jesus broadcast. My name is Blonnie Gregory, and my husband and I, Chaplain Bunny, we have a mobile chapel ministry that we carry across the country to the truck stops. And we're so honored and privileged to be with you today and want to share from God's Word and pray that God's Word will encourage our hearts. And when we hear God's Word with the intent to keep it and obey it, God will bless us and God will encourage us, because the Word always brings hope and the Word always shows us the mighty hand of God. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you that we can come into this place and worship you. And I want to thank you for those that are even now hearing the gospel, hearing the word through this CD, God, that you will touch their hearts, and through this broadcast that many hearts and lives will be won to the kingdom of God and encouraged. I pray if everyone that is not born again, washed in the blood, has not received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they'll take this time to ask forgiveness of their sins, that they will confess with their mouth their sins, and they'll confess with their mouth that you are Lord and receive you as Savior. And I pray, God, that you reach down and save their souls and write their names in glory. Oh, God, I pray that you remove the scales from their eyes, that they may see that they need a Savior, that they may see they need a Redeemer. And I pray, Lord, that you wake us up, God, that you stir our nation, that you cause a revival to come into America. And I pray, Father, that you reach down in our hearts and lives and help us to understand your word. Make your word plain and make your word true in our hearts and spirits. And help us, Lord, to follow your way and your will. And help us to know, God, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And that, God, it is your will that you bless us and keep us. And we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. And we thank you for your keeping power. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I want to speak out of the book of Judges. But before I read my scripture, I want to talk a few minutes about the book that is before Judges, and that's the book of Joshua. And when we read in the book of Joshua, we read that it's after the death of Moses, and Joshua is the leader of God's people. They have come out of slavery and out of bondage, and they're coming through the wilderness, and they're possessing the land that God has promised them. And in the book of Joshua, you read of mighty miracles of God, how that the people are obedient to God. And when they're obedient to God, they conquer the land and they take the possession of the land that God gave them. You read about the wall of Jericho falling down. You read about when the moon and the sun stood still. And you read how nature itself will even fight for the children of God when they line up with God. Isn't that amazing? But then when you get in over in the book of Judges, the book of Judges is sometimes called the book of failures. Because in the book of Judges, you read about seven cycles. From salvation to sin, from salvation to sin. There are seven times they sin and transgress against God, and there are seven times they're carried off and they become in bondage to seven different heathen nations. And then you read about seven deliverances, and this is all over a period of 305 years. Now you would think that if you would go do something, and that thing that you've done would cause you to be put into bondage and you would be in servitude to a heathen nation, that and God come down and delivered you when you repented of your sin and he set you free. And then you went back and done the very same thing again, and the very same thing happened to you again, that when you sinned, the enemy came in and put you in captivity and made you be servants to the enemy, and you were in bondage. And when you cried out unto the Lord, he had mercy on you and he forgave you. It kind of looks like if you went around that mountain maybe once or maybe twice or maybe even three times, and you kind of get the hang of it, that you wouldn't keep doing the same old. But what about man today? You see man, they'll do something and they'll get in trouble and they'll begin to cry and want to get out of trouble and God will have mercy, but then they turn right back around and they get in the same thing again over and over and over and over again. I know you've seen it many times. But the Bible tells us in the book of Judges, the 21st chapter, the 25th verse, why this thing happened. It says, because everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. And when you do, and when a nation will do what's right in their eyes and not in the eyes of God, guess what? The same old is going to happen in our country, in your life. It makes no difference what scale it's on. You're going to become in bondage. We see people today that are in bondage, maybe not to a heathen nation, but in bondage to all kind of habits. In bondage of being in afflictions, all types of bondage, and God will deliver them, and God will tell them, now don't go back and do that same thing. And because they want to do what's right or feel good in their own eyes or their own sense, they'll get right back in the shape that they were in today. Today I'm seeing a lot of the so-called gospel, I call it a feel-good gospel. In other words, you just think good thoughts and you do good deeds and that is all good. And yes, we should think good thoughts and yes, we most definitely should do good deeds. But let me tell you, you can think all the good thoughts you want to think and you can do all the good deeds you want to do. But child, if you're not born again, washed in the blood, you're going to hell. That's just about as simple as you can cut it. And let me tell you, if you don't live holy and don't do that which is right, judgment's going to come on you. You can think all the good thoughts you want to think, but if you're living in open sin, you might as well thank yourself knowing that judgment's going to come on you, and that's what I want to talk about today. Now, in this verse that I'm going to read in Judges chapter 1, I want to read verse 7, and I want to go down to the bottom of verse 7, and I want to read this part of verse 7, the bottom part. And this king, Adonai Bezek, this is what he said, so God hath requited me. In other words, this king said, God has repaid me for what I done. And that's what I want to talk about. Judges chapter 1, verse 7. Now, this king was quite a different king. If you and I would be invited to a palace for dinner, we would think about, okay, I'm going into a palace, I'm going to eat dinner with the king, it's going to be a fancy to-do, it's going to be elaborate set up, the food's going to be awesome, it's going to be wonderful. But if you went into Adonai Bezek, this heathen king, if you went into his palace for dinner, you would get sick to the stomach, and I doubt very seriously if you could stay for the whole dinner, because this king, he done something different. The Bible says that every kingdom that he would conquer, he would take the kings of that kingdom and he would take them and cut off their thumbs and cut off their big toes. Now I want you to listen. That wasn't enough. He would cut off their thumbs and their big toes, and then he took them, I think it was about 70 of these kings, and he put them down under his table and he fed them with scraps and made sport of them. Down, he had like a pit down on his table, and he had these kings down there, and he would make sport of them, and when you would sit down to his table, and if you would raise the tablecloth up or look down under the table, you would see a horrible sight. You would see all these kings with their thumbs and toes cut off, and they were in great dire condition, and he was just making sport of them, and it was a horrible thing. And you and I don't know about you, but I guess who's coming to dinner? I guess who wouldn't be coming to dinner if I knew what was going on in that household? But the Bible says that when the tribe of Judah went in to possess the land of Canaan, that they slew 10,000 men, but we're only told what happened to one out of the 10,000. And that is this man here, Adonai Bezek, and his name means Lord of Lightning. And this heathen king, we're told what happened to him when the tribe of Judah came in and when they overtook him. The Bible says that when they overtook him, the first things that they done to him, they cut his thumbs off and they cut his toes off. You think, well, he got what he deserved. What he did to other people was done to him. But this heathen king had a knowledge that people today don't know. When they called him, he didn't say, well, please don't do this, or I'm a good man, I tried to do what's right, or I didn't mean to do this. He didn't say that. He said, said what everybody is going to say when they stand before God without Jesus Christ. He said, God has done to me what, and he has repaid me for what I've done to others. In other words, it's a payday someday. This king, he knew he was doing wrong. He knew he shouldn't do that. And he knew one day God was going to repay him for the evil that he had done in his life. And when they took Adonai Bezek, when they took him and they cut off his thumbs and they cut off his toes, he said, God is just paying me back for what I've done to other people. I don't know about you, but this man had an insight that he should have acted on a long time ago, that he should have acted on. Listen, there's a lot of people today, they know they're doing wrong. They know they've transgressed against God. They know they're treating other people wrong. They know that they're doing things that are ungodly and unseemly. Things are going on in our country that I thought would never go on. But let me tell you, there's going to be a payday someday. And my mama used to tell me when I'd get in trouble, she'd correct me and she'd tell me what I did wrong. And she would tell me I better straighten up. And then she would say this, little girl, you just better write that down in your little black book. In other words, old girl, if you do it again, it's going to come right back on you again. I'm going to wear you out. And that's what we need to do today. You just need to write that down in your little black book. Some of you need to take the little black book that you're carrying around that you think nobody knows about, and you better get you a little black book that you're putting down what you're doing wrong, because let me tell you, there's going to be a payday someday. God's keeping record, and I don't know about you, but I want my record clean. I want my account settled. That's why I went to Jesus. And I asked him to forgive me of all my sins. And I confessed that I was a sinner. And when I confessed that I was a sinner, and I was sorry for my sins, and I wanted Jesus to save my soul, he forgave me of my sins. And he just didn't forgive me of my sins. By his blood, he washed away my sins, never to be brought up against me again. And today, hallelujah, I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. My account has been settled. My little black book is clean on the inside because the blood of Jesus has been applied. Oh, Adonai Bezek said, God is just repaying me for that which I done. Let me tell you, old sinner man, let me tell you, old sinner woman, you can't keep walking in sin and transgressing against God and think there's not going to be a payday. Oh, yes, there's a payday. God is keeping record. And the Bible says that when they got Adonai Bezek, they cut off his thumbs, they cut off his toes, and they carried him to Jerusalem, and he died in that condition, the condition of which he led other people into. You ask me, you say, well, now why in the world would anybody cut off your thumbs? Well, see, if you cut off your thumbs, you couldn't defend yourself. You couldn't pull back your bow and arrow. You couldn't fight with your sword. You had no way to protect yourself. You couldn't defend yourself. You think, well, that would be a horrible thing to do to somebody. I couldn't imagine anybody cutting off somebody's thumbs. That would be a bad thing. But what about us? We do worse than that. You see, when you do not know the Word of God for yourself, when you do not know what thus saith the Word of God, you in all reality cutting off the thumbs of your own self, not somebody else, but your own self. And not only are you cutting off your own thumbs to protect yourself, but you're cutting off the spiritual thumbs of your family and everybody else you come in contact with, because you do not know what the Word of God says. You have no way to protect yourself from sickness. You have no way to protect yourself from the evil of this world, from depression, from lack, and all of the enemy attacks, because you don't know what the Word of God says. You sit up in a church for maybe 30 minutes on a Sunday morning when you feel like going, and you'll sit there and you'll listen to a little sermonette, and you go home for the rest of the week, and you never read the Word of God for yourself. You never study it for yourself. You don't know what thus saith the Word of God, and you don't know the power there is in the Word. And in all reality, you've cut off your own thumbs. You say, well, why? Then if they cut off their thumbs and fix it where you couldn't defend yourself, why would you cut off a man's big toes? See, if you cut off your big toes, you can't walk straight. You're unstable. There are a lot of people today, let me tell you, they are not walking straight. I see a lot of people in churches today, they're not walking straight. They're unstable. They've had their spiritual big toes cut off. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. A double-minded man is a man who's trying to serve the world and God at the same time. And the Bible says in the book of James that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. He's unstable with his worship with God. He's unstable with his family. He's unstable with his friends. He's unstable in all of his ways. He can't stand straight. When anything comes up against him, he'll fall. When any wave comes against him, because he can't balance himself, he can't stand. You see, the world knew that if you cut off a man's big toes, he'd have trouble walking right. And the world knows too that when you would cut off a man's thumbs, he couldn't defend himself. But let me tell you, the old devil knows if he can fix you where you can't have power in your life and you can't defend yourself with the word of God. You see, when the enemy comes, you need to quote the word to him. When the enemy attacks you, you need to stand on the authority of the word. And when you stand on the authority of the word, you're going to be stable. When the enemy comes out at you, you're not going to fall, you're not going to waver, you're not going to sway back and forth like the reed or the wind when it tosses you about like a sea, but you're going to be able to stand your solid ground because you know what the word of God says. We in all reality have cut off our own toes and cut off our own thumbs because we can't defend ourselves because we will not get in the word of God. You see, you go to a church that your mama went to, and her mama went to, and great-great-granny went to, and nanny went to, and papa went to, and the whole family goes to, and all they, your aunts, your uncles, your cousins, and your graveyards out back, and you're not going to leave the church because you want to have a place to be buried. And in all reality, you're sitting a lot of times in a traditional church that's just tickling your ears, and there's no power in that church, and you're just sitting around waiting to die because you don't want to break the family tradition. But let me tell you, if you want the power of God in your life and you want to be stable, you better find yourself somewhere. Maybe you won't even have a kinfolk in that church. You might not even know a single person. But if they preach in the word, in the power and the spirit, you better find yourself down there so you'll have a way to defend yourself and to stand straight and to stand strong. You got to make your mind up who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve God full time? Are you going to try to please man and get in a social club? But I want to be where the power of God is. I want to hear the word and I want to stand on the word because I know when I stand on the word, I'm going to reap the benefits of the word. I want to reap the benefits of living right. I want to reap the benefits of living a holy life. And we can only do that when we know the word and the word finds us lodging in our hearts and in our souls. Adonai of Anzac said, God has requited or repaid me for what I've done. In other words, I've reaped what I've sown. A payday someday. When I was a little girl, I went to a store. My mama, Miss Foley, had a store on top of the hill. Mama went in there and got some stuff, and she didn't have to pay for it. I watched her. Miss Foley just took out a book and wrote something in that book, and Mama walked out the store and didn't have to give her any money. And as a little girl, that impressed me big time. So I got my cousin Murray the next day, and I said, I want you to come. I want you to go with me up the store, and we'll show you something. And I went in there, and me and Murray, we got us some ice cream and candy and some little Mary Jane candies and just got little brown paper sacks. They used to give you candy in little brown paper sacks, and we loaded up. And I told Miss Foley, I said, just put it over in that book. She got out the book and she wrote a bunch of stuff down, and we walk out and we didn't have to have any money. Well, all that month, I got all my cousins and I showed them how it worked. And for some reason that month I was so popular with the whole neighborhood. See, I was setting them all up because it didn't cost me nothing. All that woman done was just write something in the book, and I just walked out with the stuff, and we had us a good time. And that was working pretty good until the first of the month when Mama went up and the book was opened, and there's a lot of stuff on that book Mama didn't get. I want you to know I had to pay for everything that I got when Mama found out what was in the book. I did not pay for it with money because I didn't have no money. My mama took it out of my backside. And I want you to know the lesson that she taught me through that thing. I was almost 50 years old before I would even get my first credit card. You see, I learned that lesson a long time ago. You see, I got a lot of stuff. And I went on my way, and we had us a good time. But I was too young. I didn't realize. I didn't know what was going on. Though I was walking out and didn't have to pay that day, there was going to be a payday someday. And that's the way some of you are. You go on day after day and year after year and time after time, and you think, I got away with it, but you're not getting away with it. God is just being merciful to you. God is being gracious to you, and He's giving you time to repent. Don't you be a person that has to say the same thing that this heathen king Adonai Ben-Sack said. I'm just getting what? I'm getting paid back for what I done. I don't want that payday. I don't want to get what I deserve. I want mercy, and I want grace, and I want the forgiveness of God. And you can only get that through Jesus Christ. And when you receive Him, we used to sing that old hymn, "The old account was settled long ago. And when before the judgment bar I stand, and when the books are open, He will not be able to find the thing because I had it settled. I settled long ago." And the way you settle your account is you go to Jesus. You see, He's already paid for it. All you got to do is receive it, and it's marked paid in full. And when the breath leaves your body, and when the breath leaves my body, and our souls are required of us, and the books are open, He cannot find the thing because we went to Jesus and He settled it. My friend, let me tell you something. There's going to be a payday someday. And Adonai Ben-Zek, he said in this first chapter of Judges in the 7th verse, in the middle part, "So God hath requited me." In other words, God paid me back for what I done. It's not God's will that any man should perish. God's made a way of escape. God's taken care of it, but He cannot do it unless you receive it. It's a gift that you have to receive, salvation. And I pray today that no matter what's in your life, even if you're born again and there's things in your life that's not right, I pray that you'll put it under the blood and ask God to forgive you and ask God to help you to live right. You see, if you want deliverance over a matter, there's three steps you have to take. First, you have to have a real godly sorrow for the sin in your life. I'm not talking about just a sorrow that you got caught or a sorrow you're in a mess, but a sorrow that you have sinned against an almighty God and you stand guilty before Him because you're a sinner and you've sinned against Him, and you got to have a godly sorrow and ask Him to forgive you of that sin. And then when you have done that, you have got to keep your mind renewed by the Word of God. See, when you stay in the Word, that keeps your mind renewed, and you won't be a carnal Christian or a baby Christian all your life, but you'll be walking in the power of the Spirit and living in the things of God and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And then you're going to honor God with paying your tithes. You say, why? Because when you pay your tithes, if you don't do that, a curse is attached to that. And if you leave one door open, let me tell you, the devil don't care which door he comes in. If it's an open door, he's going to come in. If it's an open window, he's going to come in. If it's a crack, he's going to come in. We need to shut it up, keep it up tight. And you do that by staying in the Word of God and honoring God, not only with your life and your substance, but honoring Him with your love. God is good to us, and He wants to bless us. And today we need to make a decision. We need to stop. Listen here, I want you to stop right now and think about this. What's under your table? Because you see, what was under Adonai Benzek's table came out. He had to pay for it. And some of you got pride and unforgiveness, unconfessed sins, strife, hatefulness. Many things are under your table. And I'm asking you to stop right now and have a cleaning. Just have a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost cleaning. Let the Lord come in and sanctify you and cleanse you. And let Him clean up what's under the table. Because what's under the table, I want you to know you're going to have a payday someday. Let me pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that hearts will be touched. I pray that souls will be saved. And that we'll realize, God, like Adonai Benzek, we're going to say, oh God, oh Lord, I don't want to say I've got what I deserve, but I want mercy. And I want grace. I want forgiveness. And I know I have that through Jesus Christ. Make it real in our hearts and lives. God, I pray that you stir us and bring revival. And thank you, God, for each and every one that has heard your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and God bless you. We appreciate you to listening to the broadcast today.